Welcome to the Animus podcast. Today we're going to be talking with Rachel Roberts, a musician and a creative. She's going to be sharing with us the work that she's doing with her Dream Warriors Academy that works with young people who are leaving the looked after system, exploring how they can develop themselves and explore who they are as a person through stories and creative work. She's also going to be sharing with us the challenges of public speaking. Hey Rachel, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
So I suppose I'd like to start with a little bit about how did you get to coaching? How did you get to Animus?
Well, I think that my coaching journey started probably about 13 years ago, even though I've only just recently joined Animus in last September. My coaching journey started, I think, when I severed my right index finger from my hand, which wasn't a very good move for a musician.
I was going to say, that's kind of important for some of the stuff that you do, right?
Yeah, it's really, really important. And I've devoted a considerable proportion of my life to, you know, honing and turning cognitive skills to be able to play music as a performer on stage. And being told that I'd never be able to play again because I'd almost removed my index finger sent me into like a spiral of identity crisis.
Okay.
And it was at that point that I got a coach. And I recognise now that she was using all sorts of different techniques with me, maybe narrative coaching and existential coaching. But that played such a momentous and life-changing part of my life at that point that it really got me curious. And some of the conversations that I had with her around, I used to speak a lot about Carl Jung, and I used to read a lot about Carl Jung, and I just loved what I was reading. It became almost like a Bible to me, you know,
okay.
to discover an aspect of myself that I hadn't previously realised. Yeah, and so that was my way into coaching. So I teach young adults at degree level and postgraduate level in the Guildhall School of Music and Drama, and I realised that actually some of those coaching approaches that I had fortunately received were really, really beneficial in my teaching, and that got me really curious about coaching. So I got a course with the ILM, and it's a really fascinating course. It is, however, quite... For my taste, it's quite tick-boxy. So you need to be able to evidence that you've done this and you can read this and show that. But it doesn't, in the same way that Animas does, it doesn't sort of touch the more personal aspect of who you are as a coach anyway.
Yeah.
So I looked around for other coaching courses and discovered Animas. And I feel that touches into like individual potential and individual paradigms in a much more sort of flourishing way than that previous course that I was on.
Okay. So you talked a little bit there about severing your index finger.
Mm.
So what's the sort of the state of your musicianship now?
Yeah, well, actually that was like a tremendous gift in my life. It was one of the most terrifying things that ever happened to me. And it was also one of the most wonderful things. And actually, I'm just reminded that I think it's the etymology of the word wonderful comes from wound.
Okay.
Comes from, you know, this transcendent sort of enlightened aspects that you get from going through a terrible wound and recovering on the other side of it. And what that did was force me to confront some things about my identity that I think I had previously shied away from. Things like being able to play freely, spontaneously and creatively as a performer, autonomously in my own right on stage, rather than being part of a larger group, which is also an amazing, amazing experience. But it wasn't fulfilling that sort of autonomous part in me. So I proved the doctors wrong. I did manage to play again, and I practiced. And I now have solo representation, and I play and teach basically all over the world, and I do masterclasses all over Scandinavia and Europe, and and I've got a busy performing career.
Wow, so that's interesting. So that wound was also wonderful in kind of opening up something to you, not only in your musicianship, but also both in your teaching and in entering into the world of coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So, so what are you doing with your coaching now?
Yeah. So, my coaching is also on its own journey in a way, and I'm at the moment really, really curious about narrative coaching. And I'm very influenced by both Carl Jung and Joseph Campbell because, well, I'm just reminded of this quote by Carl Jung, well, about his definition of wholeness, that wholeness is a state in which the conscious mind and the unconscious mind work together in harmony, and that connection with the self inspires vitality. And Joseph Campbell took that to the point where he said that the ego, so in the waking conscious mind, the ego, he actually drew a diagram and he said that the ego was like a rectangle. Because if you think about it, then the ego, it's like we have conscious goals. When we strive for something, we sort of want to have the swiftest point from A to B, and that creates a straight line. And so we surround ourselves with straight lines like the bricks, or you know, this coffee table or the window, we're surrounded by rectangles. But actually, if you go out into nature, there isn't a rectangle in sight, there aren't any straight lines.
Yeah.
And because nature is responding to the present tense and it's just being, it's just growing. And I guess my journey into coaching is about that sense of growth from the unconscious, and that the ego doesn't try to impose its rectangular nature onto the unconscious. But actually, it's the job of the ego to listen to the symbolic language and to the broadcasts and messages and impulses that come from the unconscious in such a way that it can then set up an external life that supports those broadcasts and impulses.
So if I remember rightly, in one of the books, he's sort of got all the squares, but then he's also got the, I can never remember what it's called, the something curve. That appears in nature.
Oh, well, that's probably the golden section. Is it the golden section?
Yes, yeah. That's the bit. Oh, what's it's so beautiful. Called? Is it called the golden ratio?
Golden ratio,
yeah,
right.
That's
yeah,
it. So he's got that, and he's talking about how these two things inform each other.
Yeah.
They don't dominate each other. When you have a natural information and responding to, when you're aware of what's going on internally and you're responding to that externally, you create this beautiful growth like in nature.
Yeah. Exactly, and it's so beautiful. And actually, as a musician, so they're similar to Joseph Campbell. So as you know, Joseph Campbell sort of travelled the world and collected all these different folklore and legend and fairy stories, and recognised that they all have common motifs, and that there's, you know, and from that he did that incredible work on the hero's journey.
Yeah, and that whole notion of the monomyth, the thing that joins these things together.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And just coming back to the golden section, there's somebody that's a little bit of a parallel to Joseph Campbell, that's Bartok, who was, and Kadai, they were two Hungarian composers, who, with that rich Hungarian heritage of folk tunes and melodies from the Magyar tradition, then they also collected those motifs and those folk tunes and analyze them to such a point that they became really, and Bartok particularly, became very mathematical about the sort of climactic point of a piece of music. And there's this piece which, I guess this isn't about coaching at all, but I'm just going to tell you anyway because it's amazing. But there's this piece for strings, percussion and celeste in which he's sort of really mimicking that ratio, that golden section. And he reaches the climactic point at exactly, I think it's like 3:82 that it's got to take to get there. It's absolutely incredible. But yes, that appears everywhere in nature.
So I'm curious about how this shows up in your coaching or in you, actually.
I guess that, well, I don't know if that, you know, that precision doesn't occur in coaching at all, does it? But what I'm really keen on at the moment is eliciting a response, like a really sort of getting to the grips of what I think you call it, landing on a theme.
Yeah.
And well, with individual coaching one-to-one, I'm you know, eternally fascinated in finding that theme. And, you know, it takes time to get there. And I'm just going to have to see how that goes. So, because I'm just learning, I'm still, like, massively learning.
Yeah.
But also, I guess, where these mythic content comes into my coaching is to storytelling.
So tell me a little bit about, you said you're this company that you're setting up and you're going to be telling stories.
Yeah.
Before we get to the sort of the story element,
I'm
curious about the company itself.
Yeah, okay. So Dream Warriors Academy is, I'm aiming to empower young people that are just leaving the looked after system. So that's 16 to 24 year olds. And aiming to empower them through the use of creative coaching, creative therapies, creative pursuits, and, you know, obviously transformational life coaching, whether that's creative or not. And because I think a lot of these people are struggling to be heard, and I want to help them to find their voice and be a force for change and create the life that they love. And that might sound very simple, but actually the major problem for these people is that they suffer from being pathologized. And that, what do I mean by pathologized? They have, as a report that came out from the Social Care Institute for Excellence from November 2017, this report came out to say that actually there is a crisis within the looked after system at the moment. And this report was sent to the government to alert it of the crisis. And one of the main problems is that the relationship with the person's social worker. The social workers are in constant crisis mode, you know, firefighting.
So much going on for them, so much work and such a heavy caseload as well.
Yeah, massive caseload and also significant cuts across the board.
Yeah.
So it's not any wonder, really, that that relationship with the care leaver themselves is under quite a lot of stress. And from the age of 18... that's the only one relationship that that young person then has. And so it's really important to them. And often that social worker, through no fault of their own, isn't trained in life story work and is really just trying to find a way into life for that person so that they are employable and that they have skills. And Dream Warriors Academy aims to dissolve self-limiting beliefs, break through learning blocks, and really hit home to discover what that person's individual passion and purpose is for their life so that they can, you know, enjoy that sense of potential and meaning in life.
So what sort of inspired you to work with that particular group?
Well, I guess massively it's my background. I come from quite a northern family. I'm just going to have to say this as it is. I come from quite a northern family of army and police.
Okay.
And so as a musician, you know, that was really not the thing to do. I think, I should really be a policewoman. I don't know how that would work. But, yeah, so there was an element for me of massively having to find my own relationship with not being a policewoman, with being a more creative person, with being myself. And that was extremely difficult because the family that I'm talking about is extended family. I'd actually lost my mother when I was 11 and my father to a severe stroke when I was 13. And so I had lots of unresolved grief and trauma and chaos going on. And it was a really big deal for me to delve into that stuff in order to find the treasure that was there, as I perceive it now, which is creativity. And I guess from the work that I've done around that, I have this really deep belief and passion that actually everybody has a creative instinct. That's not to say that everybody wants to do that as a career, but that that creative instinct can be a tremendous access to unconscious symbolic language and those messages that are coming from a deeper knowing in order that we can create a life that is filled with meaning and passion and purpose.
So I guess you'll be, with some of that work, you'll be working sort of with clean language and metaphors and imagery to kind of really bring that out of those young people for them to begin to get a glimpse of who they are and where they might move to.
Absolutely, yeah. And critical thinking skills as well. It's going to be also very important for people that have been through a degree of chaotic circumstance, you know, to be able to transfer from the limbic system to a more adult, more rational, reasonable, literally reason-able place inside themselves, yeah.
So there'll be a bit of TA thrown in, transaction analysis thrown in there as well.
Massively, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so when you talk about this company, is this company just, is it just you? Is there a group of people? How's that working?
Yeah, so it's really just being born. So it's not in its final stages by any means. But I am working with a group of three students from RADA in order to create an environment that is really fun and entertaining. And we're working to create scripts and stories around different themes that might be relevant to these young people. And also the young people, the RADA actors, are trained in facilitating workshops.
Okay.
So they'll be able to also, you know, help individually each young person with their task, which will be to create a rap or a spoken word piece, which I'll then coach them around performing and taking their power and standing and speaking their truth.
Cool. So this is sort of almost parallel to that talk you did not so long ago in front of, I think it was a few thousand people.
It was like, I think it was 1,300 actually, okay, when it was all added up. Yeah.
Maybe I was just exaggerating just a little bit.
Yeah, no, it felt like 2,000, yeah.
So how was that journey for you?
That was so interesting. That was really interesting on different levels. So on the one hand, it was a little bit, I sometimes feel that these young people that are leaving the care system are a little bit like they're on a battlefield. And it's a battlefield that I'm familiar with, but I've survived and I've come out of it. And in going back into my story, I almost felt like I was going back into the battlefield, but from, as with narrative coaching, but from a different angle so that I could view my identity differently now that I know that I'm not in it anymore.
Yeah, that sort of externalization of it.
Exactly, yeah. And so it was really fascinating and it was very empowering. It was a really great thing to do, even though, you know, it felt like an extremely terrifying thing to do. At the same time, afterwards, I did get a tremendous sense of achievement. I thought, yeah, I did that. So if I can do that, what else can I do?
Yeah.
You know. But it was interesting to view myself, to observe myself as I was doing it, and have those sort of realizations of where I am now, why I'm doing this, and to get really clear about why I'm doing it, that I'm doing it for the people that I want to help, because I want to go back for the people that are still there on that battlefield and help them to get their own way out.
Yeah. Because as you're talking about this, I sort of see that image of Wonder Woman going across the trenches, kind of battling and supporting and helping others. And
yeah, no, I don't think it's like that at all.
Okay, well, what's the image that you see?
I think it's, I don't feel like Wonder Woman at all, but I think what I'm hoping to do is give them the skills to find their own way out.
Mm.
Not that I'm going to be going in and doing their battles for them
So yeah, I didn't mean doing for them, but more kind of, so it feels like for me, I suppose, that you're leading the way, having been through the experience, you're sort of shining a light saying, you know, you can get through this.
Yeah.
I've done that, so I'm coming back to help you work out how you're going to get through this.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so, yeah. Although I'd also say, you know, like in terms of past, present and future, it's something that you're never really off that field. Mm. You just get more familiar with it and you just know what your armoury is and you know what to use at what time and what's your responsibility and what isn't. And, you know, all those life lessons that perhaps other people pick up more naturally. I think for people from that situation, it's not quite so clear and straightforward. So, yeah.
Cool. So so with your traveling the world, teaching and playing music, the setting up of your company, where does your life coaching fit into that? And where does the rest of the life fit into all of that?
Good question. question. Well, my life coaching fits into that. I do a lot of coaching on Skype, and I also coach my students. I guess I'm just finding that out as I go along. I do have this talk to deliver on the 8th of May, which is kind of taking over my life in every dimension right now. But after that, I'm definitely going to be concentrating on my diploma, on also my ILM level 7 executive coaching qualification. And then following that, I think I'll be really, really equipped to go full steam ahead with Dream Warriors Academy. And also, I've just been very fortunately granted a fellowship with the School of Social Entrepreneurs.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's really exciting because they're going to teach me. First of all, I get matched with corporates, so I'm going to be able to learn from corporate organisations and also be able to develop my product with them in mind as a funding mechanism. That'll be really, really useful. And I'm also going to learn just about, you know, social impact theory of change, and all sorts of business skills, which are, you know, as a musician, really very, very important, I realise.
So how did you go about getting that fellowship? How did that happen?
I just Googled. I do a lot of Googling. Yeah, I just realise what it is that I want, and then I find out how I'm going to get it. It's always been that way.
That's amazing, because I imagine there are lots of coaches that want to set up social enterprises or want to work and support others that are kind of going, I don't know how to do this. And
yeah.
So you're saying you just Googled it until you found the answer.
Yeah.
And then what happened? So you found somebody that was offering fellowships.
Yeah. Yeah, and so then you have to apply, obviously, and you get invited to a workshop and they assess your skills, not in whether or not you can do something, but your interpersonal skills and how
right.
you work in teams.
Okay.
And I went through two of those workshops and an interview, and I think out of about 1,000 people, I was one of 12 that got picked, which is very nice. Yeah.
And you kept that rather quiet.
Did I?
It feels
nobody
like
asked.
It.
All right, well.
Maybe I just missed it.
No, not at all. No. But I'm thrilled about that, so that's great. Yeah.
It's amazing. So I sort of wonder about where does the rest of your life fit in? Sort of your social time, family time. Where does all of that fit into this busy schedule of what you do?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's an area, you know, on the wheel of life, maybe that one would be something to look at some point. But I am pretty focused on this company and on everything that's going into it, you know, at the moment. There really is such a lot to do.
Mm.
And I feel quite happy doing it as well. I feel quite fulfilled. I don't really feel like right now I need to focus on other areas of my life. I'm happy doing what I'm doing.
Brilliant. I was talking with Will Harvey about when he did a talk with the Animus community, and he was saying that how, you know, for 6 weeks of his life, that talk was the only thing that he could think of. And then when he did it, he absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And so he's on the other side of that, having done it and loved it, and you're on the side before.
yeah. And it's funny because, I mean, as a musician, I've had this experience so many times of, I mean, my life really revolves around going from date to date. You know, it's like, oh, right, there's this really momentous occasion coming up in 10 weeks or something. So that's what I need to prepare for, and I get all geared up and very psyched, and then it's passed, and nobody does anything, nobody says anything, and your life just continues. So I am familiar with that sort of working. But I have to say that, you know, actually delivering a talk is, A, something I've never done. Mm. I mean, I've done the story, but that was a story, that's different. That's a bit like music, isn't it? It's got a theme, and a talk is different. And I guess I am sort of, ironically, concurrently shoved back into a little bit that time when I was really finding myself as a musician and not certain, not confident about my abilities. Except for this time, I know what it's like to be not confident.
Okay.
And still, in the future, find the the impossible is possible. You can do stuff.
Right.
And that's a tremendous resource, actually.
So being able to look at parallel times and pull on those experiences to help and support you in the what's happening right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I guess the other thing that that does is equip me with an understanding of how much preparation is needed.
Right. You
know? So I know that I'm going to get there, for example, and I'm going to go blank. So I need to know what I'm saying to the point where...
Well, you might not go blank. You might be... Yes. Something else
future
might happen.
Read. Yeah, mind reading. Yeah, not mind reading. Yeah, 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 it's true. Yeah, something else.
So with all of these amazing things that you're doing, if somebody wants to find you, to connect with you, how might they go about doing that?
Email, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would be the email that you'd like people to use if they want to?
Sure. It's rachel@rachelrobertsviola.com.
Awesome. Brilliant. It's been a real pleasure talking with you today, Rachel.
Thank you so much. It's been great to talk to you too.
Thank you,
Robert.